From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez here on Rivalry Weekend. It's if you follow Michigan, Michigan State. You know what? Look, it's been well established. I'm a fan of the maize and blue. I'm that guy. Didn't go to, you know, U of M, but I lived there for a while. Lived in Ann Arbor for a while. Does that count? But look, it's one of those things, and somebody's going to lose, somebody's going to win, and somebody's going to have bragging rights for another year. But again, it all depends. It's all about the players on the field. We just get to spectate and have fun with it. Appreciate you joining us here. Thanks to our friends at Lucky Buck. Man, I was out last week. I had some Lucky Buck out, and you know, been watching the sights, watching them. Haven't seen a lot of deer activity, but I did have a big doe and a button buck come under the stand at about 5 yards. It's kind of, you know. It's probably more fun to watch deer than anything else, but when you get the right one coming in, the one that you put so much work into by putting out Lucky Buck, by putting food plots out, by watching trail cams and keeping your areas cleaned up, it's all worth it. And it's worth it just to see a couple of deer that you wouldn't normally shoot. So, you know, it works well for me anyway. Lucky-Buck.com, one of our fine sponsors. And I was in the tree with my Strother, my new Strother bow that I'm very proud to have them on board as well as sponsors, my Wrath SHO in the tree. And I tell you what, you've seen the pictures on the Facebook page, and we'll put some up on wildmichiganradio.com. Very impressed with this Michigan company and very happy to have them on board. But now we're going to switch gears a little bit. Normally we talk to Richard P. Smith, author, the man who's walked with whitetails, with black bears here in Michigan, well-known author. But we have a surprise guest with us today. His wife of many, many years, Lucy LaFave, joins us. Lucy, you've been thrown into this whole thing today. Partially my fault, but I think to my good fortune. I failed to follow up with Richard. Richard's off hunting up there in the UP, up Marquette area. But I have the good fortune of having you on the show. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being able to chat with you.
Well, when I made the call this morning, it's like, oh, we have Lucy. Now I have to change everything. I change everything because I've never had you on the show, and this is going to be a lot of fun because you work so closely with Richard. I see you at the shows with his many books. Of course, the new book. Actually, a revised edition, Black Bear Hunting, the Ultimate Reference Guide. If you are a fan of black bear hunting or are even remotely curious about black bear hunting in Michigan or abroad in Canada, like we have so many opportunities, this is a pretty comprehensive book, Lucy.
Yes, it is. He's very proud of it. It's an accumulation of a lifetime of learning on black bears. He got interested in black bears when he was 16 years old when he shot his first one. And he's been studying them ever since.
They're fascinating creatures. I've had the good fortune to hunt them a couple of times up in Canada. And, I mean, they are like ghosts. They come in so quietly because their pads are so soft and a lot of the terrain that they cover is so soft. But it's... You know firsthand that it's 1 second they're there, they're not there, the next they are.
Yeah, they're a challenging animal, that's for sure. Not only to see, but then once you get them in there to try and figure out kind of what size you're looking at, what kind of bear you're looking at. Many hunters have a really hard time to being able to distinguish males from females and small bears from large bears because any bear looks big from a stand.
Sure. Oh, no. I've seen it firsthand. But there are things to look for. Black Bear Hunting, the Ultimate Reference, is the book, the revised book from Richard P. Smith. And we're speaking with Lucy LaFave, Richard's wife, here on the show. Some of the basics about judging from the stand to look for that we learned from Richard was a barrel size. If you're using like a 55-gallon drum, there's ways to match body size to that drum.
Correct. you know, kind of get some measurements, get some ideas, you know, and so you know what you're looking at. And besides a drum, the other thing is to kind of sometimes you can measure, like, on a tree or put a stick a certain length out so you know kind of, like, how high the bear is, how long the bear is. That'll give you a better idea what you're looking at.
Lucy LeFave joins us here on Wild Michigan, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Other ways to judge is like this triangulation between the ears and the snout to get an idea as the distance between the ears as, you know, the skull size for a bear.
Correct. Kind of the bigger, the more it looks like a perfect triangle, the bigger the bear is.
And people, you know what? If you've never been bear hunting, when you see one for the first time, it's huge. And guys, you know, I've seen it at bear camp. Guys think they have a big bear. They came back and they're like under 100 pounds. And kind of like, well, you know, it was the shot I took.
Right, right. And there's nothing wrong with taking a small bear. Absolutely nothing wrong with taking a small bear. And it's just a matter of kind of you deciding what it is that you want to do.
Exactly, exactly. Lucy LeFave is our guest here, the wife of Richard P. Smith. Richard is out doing some tree stand work today. Lucy, what are some of the new additions to the new book? It's already been out, Black Bear Hunting, the Ultimate Reference Guide by Richard P. Smith. But what are some of the new additions that you both have put into it?
Well, I know he has added six new chapters. One of the, you know, one of his things is talking about the idea of hunting in the future and the support of how important it is to kind of protect bear hunting and kind of the challenges out there. And that it's important to manage bears, and the whole idea of also having spring seasons.
Now, we don't have the spring season here in Michigan anymore.
Right, right. And I know, like, Ontario kind of eliminated the spring season recently, and because of that, they're having a lot of nuisance problems.
Yeah, that can be a problem, especially with when you have the population that they have up there. It can be a big issue.
Exactly, exactly. But he's broken this down into, you know, kind of specifics. You know, he not only talks about, you know, how to hunt them and specific information about that, the best way to get them, and hunting bears at night. That he recently helped someone get a bear, a large bear that he would not have gotten if it wasn't for Richard's advice.
See, and that's important, too, because information is meant to be shared, not kept to oneself, and that's where I look at this book. It even has a shot placement on a deer and a shot placement on a bear, very different.
Correct. Yeah, and it's important to have that information going in, you know, so that you're ready, because you don't want to be thinking about it last minute when you're up in a tree or you know, on a ground stand.
Now, some of the things this also covers is hunting with dogs. A lot of people I know in the UP, you know, in Michigan, Upper Michigan, Upper Peninsula, use dogs to hunt bear. And that's something I'm not really familiar with.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's hunted with dogs, and he finds dogs and baiting both as kind of a way to be able to get a better sense of what size what you're looking at, because you can get a little closer with the dog. It is challenging. You're not always going to get to, you know, get a dog in a track, but once you do, then sometimes they run miles and miles. And, you know, it's a matter of keeping up with them or figuring out where they are and then usually the bear, sometimes they'll be on the ground, but a lot of times they'll be in a tree and you'll have a better opportunity than to judge the bear, you know, what you have, what you're looking at.
All right, Lucy LeFave is our guest here talking about the book Black Bear Hunting, The Ultimate Reference by Richard P. Smith. You can find him at richardpsmith.com. Hang on, we got a lot more coming on Wild Michigan.
Hi, this is Larry Weissman, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host, all over the Great Lakes State. WildMichiganRadio.com. Appreciate you joining us here, whether it's on podcast that you can get free from our website or on the many affiliates of the Michigan Talk Network. Speaking with Lucy Lefebvre, outdoors woman, a workshop presenter, and someone we've never really had the opportunity to talk to, and I'm glad we had the opportunity today. She's also the wife of Richard P. Smith, author, noted author here in Michigan, many, many books. The release, the updated version of Black Bear Hunting, the ultimate reference guide, 6 new chapters, many new additions to the chapters. And Lucy, as I've been thumbing through this book, working with guides, especially if you're like me, you're a downstater, lives in Michigan, we have no experience with bears. You know, it's tough to find the right guide. Now, I know Richard guides.
He used to guide.
He's not guiding anymore. Well, that just blows that whole theory then, because I was saving up my points to go with Richard hunting. But, we apply for preference points, and it's difficult to know everything you need to know. You can't just go out, set up a stand, put out some bait, and think it's going to work.
Yes, there's a lot involved. And so, you know, it's really important if you're, you know, first-time hunter especially, you know, bear hunter, to kind of like have somebody guide you. And I mean, that's why he wrote the book, to try and help people. But if you can have somebody a guide personally there that's actually doing the baiting, you know, doing the scouting for you, makes all the difference.
Well, and there are many methods to baiting too. But one thing that I didn't know until just now, we know bear are attracted to sweets. There's a lot of people that put molasses in their bait or have a special mixture of their bait. Chocolate is a no-no.
Correct.
You know, you want to, I hate to sound like a scolding parent, but it can be very toxic to bears.
Yes, it can. It can be toxic to just about any wildlife, so it's better not to use it.
Man, did not know that. And you know, again, one of the many things you'll find in the book, Black Bear Hunting, the Ultimate Reference Guide, richardpsmith.com. We're speaking with his wife, Lucy Lefebvre. Now, Lucy, this is funny. I was reading your bio, and you've not always been an outdoors woman, and then you met like the ultimate outdoors guy.
Yes, I had a quick education in the outdoors. Yeah, actually, when some of our first dates actually were at when we used to have open pit dumps to photograph bears.
Really?
And so, yeah, he brought me in on bears right away.
That's funny, because my girlfriend is very new to the outdoors, and I've been very thankful. She has grasped a hold of, and now I get the texts saying, are we hunting tonight, or do you want to hunt tonight? It's like, wow, are you kidding me? Yeah. But you've had some, you know, you had one date in particular that was your introduction to ticks.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Oh, geez. He took me down to Dickinson County, southern part of the Upper Peninsula, and I don't even remember what we were doing, but we went walking for a long period of time, and, you know, it was constant picking ticks off. I mean, stopping every few minutes. They were just all over the place.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and then we stopped on the way home to eat at a restaurant, you know, went to the bathroom, and there were more ticks, and I took a bath, and there were ticks floating all over the place.
Oh, my gosh. But how has this changed your perspective on the outdoors, being kind of thrown into it with Richard?
Oh, geez. I mean, I love the outdoors, you know, and I guess when I think about it, I always have. It just, you know, my idea of the outdoors had been, you know, sitting on a beach somewhere, or, you know, kind of like in a more metropolitan park type of thing, not kind of like tramping through the woods. And it's nice to be out there with nature.
It is. And as I was mentioning in the first segment of the show, having a doe and a button buck underneath the tree stand, to me, that's as gratifying as getting a shot at a big buck, is to be that close and to have them kind of know you're there, but not be afraid.
Yeah, exactly. And I know Richard basically says that he hunts all year round, but most of the time he's hunting with a camera. And that's the times that I hunt with him, is when he's hunting with a camera and getting close up, you know, to all different types of wildlife.
Now, this being deer season here in Michigan, you've seen quite a bit in the UP. How are things looking as far as activity is going? I know Richard's out getting the stand set up and getting ready.
Oh, he's all excited. he's hunting on a. He's actually hunting with a crossbow. He is hunting a Oak Ridge, and it's loaded full of acorns.
Oh.
And he's kind of, you know, showing me, you know, the scrapes and rubs, and he's got trail cameras up, and he had three different bucks on the cameras. So
nice. Now, how's the weather? Last year it was a pretty rough weather winter for you folks and us down here in the lower portion of the state. And we're slated to get a very difficult but not as long winter this year. How has it affected the herd up there in your area?
Well, there's definitely some concerns about that winter thinned out the herd. We had such a severe, you know, a winter that we definitely lost deer. But then because it was so severe, the DNR kind of allowed some feeding that they would not, supplemental feeding that they would not have normally done, which helped, you know, get some deer through the winter.
And that's helpful, too, especially when we know we're going to have the difficulties that we did last year with supplemental feeding. And I know there's people that are going to do it either way. But again, to have that to be allowed works well.
Exactly. Exactly. And there are definitely deer out there because he's been seeing them and seeing signs. So especially if you're going to, like, you know, where they are, the food, you know, he's at the food source.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's natural food out there.
No, this year has been a bumper crop for acorns. It's been quite nice, and I'm really looking forward to getting out. Speaking with Lucy LaFave, wife of Richard P. Smith, her first time here on the show. I think it's gone well, Lucy. I really do.
Yes, I think so, too.
It's been a lot of fun. She's got her own page at richardpsmith.com. You can follow her there and find out some of the things we've talked about here. She offers presentations and workshops. A lot of very cool and interesting perspectives from her side of things in the outdoors. And you can catch this interview again, if you missed any of it, at our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Lucy, it's been a lot of fun. Best of luck this year to Richard. Please let him know he missed out, but we got the benefit.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Black Bear Hunting is the newest release from Richard P. Smith, the ultimate reference guide, 6 new chapters, lots of new information added, lots of awesome color photos in there. And if you have any sort of questions about black bear, this book can definitely answer them. There's also videos too of field judging black bears, the like. I've learned tons by looking at Richard's books, and I encourage you to do the same. RichardPSmith.com. Thanks so much to Lucy LaFave, his wife of many, many years. Appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Michigan.
Oh, I got chills when I hear that.
A little more, Alex, please. Oh, yeah. Michigan rock and roll band Pop Evil. I hope they don't mind. I kind of stole that in the big house. You know, it's one of those things. It's rivalry weekend here in Michigan. Win or lose, don't care. I'm always going to be a fan of the maize and blue. Do not approve of the spray painting on the diag in Ann Arbor. And I do not approve of the defacing of Sparty in East Lansing either. So I know it's not an outdoors topic, but there's a lot of pride that goes into Michigan and our universities all But again, just a little op-ed there. Duran Martinez, your host here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Thanks to our friends at Lucky Buck, also our friends at Strother Archery. And we're going to take the bows, we're going to kind of tilt them over a little bit on their side and talk a little bit about the crossbow warriors. Crossbows in Michigan have been allowed, initially they were allowed for a certain amount of handicap and age levels, and a couple years ago we've got them fully vested in the state. You can use a crossbow any age. And what was really cool story this week is of a young man that took an all-white deer. I'm not sure if it's truly albino or if there is some form of color there making it piebald, but I'm pretty sure by the looks of it, it was an albino deer, raising up a lot of stink. And this is what really angers me in the outdoors community. Look, it was a 100% legal kill. It was an ethical shot, evidently. And the young man harvested an albino deer. Period. Paragraph. Okay? It was legal. Get off of his case. There's a lot of jealousy out there. A lot of people. And the term is old wives' tales. Not old wives' tales. Okay? And please to the person that quoted about the quote coming from an old Indian. For the love of God, please give me the information where this come from, that it's bad luck to shoot a white deer. Okay? We have opportunities for young people to get in the outdoors, and people are bashing it. And you know what? We're not going to have it here. Crossbows are allowed in Michigan. I'll be the first one to say flat out, I didn't care for it originally. But now, seeing firsthand the opportunities, it's getting people to be introduced into the outdoors. I have changed my perspective a little bit. My good friend Dave Chevalier has been listening to me rant. I apologize, but you are the founder, David, of Crossbow Warriors?
Correct, yeah, Joanne. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I started Crossbow Warriors a little over 2 years ago now, just because there was that lack of information out there and education to try to get people at a younger age to get interested in crossbows.
And it's changed. It's changed how we do a lot of things. Look, and I'll be honest with you. Look, Michigan bow hunters did not like, you know, initially when they have when the compound bows were first introduced. A lot of compound bow hunters didn't like the crossbow. Okay, again, here we go. A lot of infighting, and I'll be the first one. I admit it fully. Didn't like the crossbow. Okay. I have changed my perspective a little bit. I have since shot one for the first time, and still I'm a little leery around them. But you know, with anything, safety's a big thing, and you guys preach safety.
And that's one thing we definitely specialize in. We try to start them young, and that's the first thing we start off with is the basic safety of the crossbow. You know, the features and functionality of the crossbow, and then also the mechanics and where not to touch the crossbow, and how to handle it safely.
Very important, and crossbows have come a long way in their manufacture because there were issues. People taking the tops of their thumbs off with a very fast-moving string. Some manufacturers, or most manufacturers, have gone to that little flange on the forestock of the crossbow that offers a little extra protection, but you still have to know.
Yeah, exactly. You still have to use common sense and think safety first, but you are correct. I mean, we have seen a significant decline. When I first started 2 years ago, when I was out on the shooting trailers and working with people, I can't tell you story after story of people telling me about their thumbs and how they hit them and stuff like that. That's becoming farther and fewer between now with the better crossbows coming onto the market.
Dave Chevalier, Crossbow Warriors, is his group. Crossbowwarriors.com is the website. Dave, we've seen, you know, and I talk about my girlfriend a lot because she's just getting in the outdoors here, but Sarah picked up a crossbow from a good friend of ours, a Darton crossbow. She bought it, and she has never hunted before. Now she is flying up the tree stand, getting her harness strapped in, and has her crossbow, and she, dude, she is so excited because she has the opportunity to bow hunt with me.
And that's what it's all about. You know, it's one more person that was just able to get into the woods. You know, and that's one thing we try to preach over and over. You know, I don't care what you use, whether it's compound crossbow. It doesn't matter to me. But if a crossbow is going to be a great stepping stone or a tool that you use to get you into the woods, I'm all about it, and I'll help you get there.
And that's the one thing, too. Look, man, you guys have changed my perspective. You and Laura and some other people in the crossbow community have really changed my perspective, and I think it's incumbent upon us to maybe open up our eyes a little bit and not downgrade something when we don't understand. And that's what happens a lot. And anything is, if we don't understand it, we automatically don't like it or we're afraid of it.
Well, and you know, it's funny you say that, because 90% of the time when people jump on my Facebook page or send me emails or voicemails or whatever, they bash it. But then when I ask them certain questions in return, they have no experience or no knowledge of what they're speaking on. You know, it's like they're just trying to raise a point because somebody told them something. It's not from personal experience. And that's the part that drives me crazy.
Yeah, we saw a lot about that with the young man that took the white deer, which I'm trying to get in. I've had emails, conversations with his dad about getting him on the show, because that is such a rare opportunity. And you saw, you know, bashing this poor kid.
Well, and you know what's funny is, while I was waiting here, just before we got on the air here, somebody just posted again on one of the sites, you know, hey, do you know how to Photoshop a deer to make mine look like that? You know, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Pure jealousy.
It's those things that drive me crazy.
It is. And you know what? If you don't like it, you don't have to listen to the show. You don't have to like us on Facebook. You don't have to do anything. Okay? Yep. We don't need you. And that's, you know what? That may come across as an arrogant statement, but it's what I'm trying to do is establish the fact that we are all in this together. We get enough hate from the outside, from people that anti-hunt or anti-hunters and people that don't like what we do. We don't need it from within.
No, I totally agree with that. You know, and it's not like this is new. I mean, we've seen photos of them in the wild many times before, so I don't understand where this is coming from.
Dave Chevalier is our guest, crossbowwarriors.com. Dave, I apologize. I've ranted so much in this first segment. We're going to talk to more in the next segment about what Crossbow Warriors is up to, the opportunities that are abound to get people outside in the outdoors to hunt during Michigan's bow season, which the first one goes until November 14th. So please hang out with us. We got a lot going on here. Dave Chevalier is our guest. CrossbowWarriors.com is his website. We'll get back to Dave Chevalier here. CrossbowWarriors.com is our website. Real quick story out of New York, kind of an odd one. Black bear cub, estimated to be 6 months old, was found dead in New York City's Central Park last week, apparently killed by a car. But how it got to the center of the country's largest city remains an absolute mystery. Last time a bear was shot in the Big Apple was 1630. It's a highly unusual situation, according to Elizabeth Kaladin, spokeswoman for the Central Park Conservancy. It's awful. Yeah, it's awful, but dude, how'd a black bear get in New York? Couldn't stick out like a sore thumb? I mean, you see him in the grocery store. That's an everyday occurrence. It's Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez going to speak more with Dave Chevalier. My poor buddies, listen to me rant here on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State on the Michigan Talk Network and the world. WildMichiganRadio.com is our website, man. Lots of things going on here in Michigan. We are in the smack dab in the middle of bow season here in Michigan. Things are starting to crisp up a little bit, although we've got a bit of a warm-up coming up this weekend into next week. But I've not seen much deer activity. I've seen some bachelor groups out there. Had a couple close encounters with doe and a button buck. Let them both walk. Always just very cool to see deer in the outdoors. And with the opportunity, with the advent of crossbows being allowed in Michigan, of course, you don't need the crossbow stamp anymore, I've recently found out. Dave Chevalier, my good friend with CrossbowWarriors.com, is giving more people opportunities to get outdoors and to enjoy the woods in Michigan's bow season. Dave, I want to talk a little bit about some of the myths, and I've had crossbow people, you know, we've had Chuck Jordan from 10 Point on here. We've had other folks on here from Darton. Our good friend Dave Thomas from Bowhunter Planet. You know, I could go on and on and on who we've talked to about crossbows, and the one myth out there is about power and distance. Okay, with a shorter stroke, a heavier bolt, you're not getting the kinetic energy, so you're not going to get long distance shooting. And again, there's people out there, I can hit 60 yards with my crossbow. And that's great, but how effective is that shot?
Well, yeah, and it's got to be a perfect condition. You get some variables in there with the wind and terrain and stuff. It changes drastically. So you are correct. There's a lot of myths behind that.
Yeah.
But people will still argue until they're blue in the face with you.
Yeah, I don't get it. But this is where Crossbow Warriors comes in, is a whole website full of information and experts, people that this is what they do, you know, and helping people find, you know, the right information.
You know, that's one thing we've been trying to really start focusing on, especially for this fall. And I've been bringing on more and more staff members that are kind of specialists in certain things. And it's interesting that some of the things that are going on now is the bows, as you know, are continuing to go faster and faster. And like one of the videos that I'll be launching that many people don't know about, and we see it post all the time, that they get a couple flyers when they shoot a group. And what we mean by flyers is you shoot four, maybe two of them go left or right, or they're not consistently grouping. Well, one of the guys on my pro staff, Randy out of North Carolina, he put together a video for us last night, and I'll be editing and putting it out this weekend. We're just going to talk about spine indexing, excuse me, and spine matching, where it explains to you what happens and how you can tune your arrows back in, because as we go more powerful, you're going to rely more on arrow tuning versus just grabbing arrows out of the box and trying to make sure they're all consistent.
You know, and that's important. That's important because, look, If you're practicing, okay, you're usually probably in ideal conditions. Your target isn't moving. It's not quartered. And if you have an arrow fly off like that, that could happen in the woods, causing an errant shot, causing a bad placement on an animal. You know, it's going to affect your tracking. It's going to have a lot of effects overall on your complete hunt, and it may really kind of burn you a little bit about crossbows, especially if you're new.
Exactly, and it's those little things, those tips and tricks that we want to start really emphasizing that on the site and trying to explain to people. You know, there's more to it than just grabbing a crossbow out of the box and shooting it being dead on.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be sighted in the minute you get it. You're going to have to work on that.
Yes. You know, and it's funny because a lot of it is not just the crossbow itself. It's people and the way that they crank on the trigger versus squeezing the trigger, and those little things make a big difference with the crossbow as well.
Who's your best student? Is it kids? Is it women?
You know, it kind of varies. You know, right now the kids, because of the fact is, and women are actually up there too, you know, because of the fact is they don't know, and they're like a sponge and willing to learn anything. And everything you teach them, right out of the gate, they're ready to go, and they listen to everything you say, which is awesome. One of the things I've been doing is going around with our Little Warrior program and working with little kids. I go to dealers. I've actually had a Boy Scout troop out at my house for a weekend, and it's all we do is go over that stuff, teach them stuff. And I tell you, the women and the kids have been great as learners, and I know they're out there spreading the word about us.
Dave Chevalier, CrossbowWarriors.com. You can find this interview free on our podcasts at WildMichiganRadio.com. Dave, let's go into the minutia of things that you wouldn't really think of, inexpensive, rail lube and string wax. How often?
Well, yeah. That's kind of funny because everybody you talk to on that has different scenarios. And we actually have people that say they don't use it at all, period. One thing that I recommend is for the wax, okay? Actually, wax it very good at the beginning of the season and again at the end of the season when I put it away. Depending on how many hours I'm out in the woods and the conditions and in that, you know, it's just like a compound string. You know, you can kind of feel it when the wax is going away. I re-wax it at that point. But at the end of the season, I make sure that I take the bow off of the stock, and I actually wax underneath where the cable slides are and that stuff. That's extremely important for maintaining your longevity of your string or your cable. Rail lube itself, you know, it, depending on the bow and in whether it's a composite rail or a aluminum rail, you know, anywhere between 20 and 40 shots sometimes, depending on the type of rail you use as well.
Okay, so it's not something we have to do every time we go and shoot.
Absolutely not, no. Some of the mistakes that people make is they over-lube it, okay? And what's going to happen when you start over-lubing your string is your serving is going to start to swell and starts to separate on you. That's one of the first things you'll start seeing. At that point, you've pretty much got to get it reserved.
Well, it's good stuff to know. Absolutely good stuff to know. Dave Chevalier, CrossbowWarriors.com. Let's talk mechanical versus fixed blade broadheads.
You know, there is no answer for that. You know, it's personal preference. I myself personally like to shoot the fixed blades. You know, I'm getting more and more into that because I'm seeing some failures with certain brands of the broadheads. It's not that they're bad in any way, shape, or form. I just personally feel more comfortable shooting the fixed blades, and most of my team shooting fixed blades as well. But we also have people and know many people that shoot the mechanicals, and they have no issues. So it's and as you know, there's so many broadhead companies out there. When we go to the ATA again in three months, there's going to be probably another 20 brands out there again.
It's difficult. It is difficult. Look, you know what? You cannot like a broadhead just because of the guy peddling it. And I've been victim of that. I know. I, this year, have gone back to the Grim Reaper broadhead, which is the first broadhead I ever used bow hunting. It's mechanical. I love mechanical broadheads, and I love what these things do. You know, everybody has their preference. But find what works for you. That's what is most important. The same goes for crossbows. And real quickly, I want to talk about the advantages of the family using a crossbow, because it can be used for son or daughter, mom, dad, grandfather. I'm finding that to be pretty interesting.
You know, and that's a great point, because it's more like a stepping stone. You know, a consumer can walk into a dealer and pick up a crossbow and have the entire family shooting it for the cost of one tool. And then that way you can kind of, you know, feel who's going to get into hunting more and who's not interested at all. And then you kind of either they keep pursuing the crossbow, or they might go into the compound or longbow or recurve.
No, it's true. I mean, once you're bitten by the initial bug, I think that you know, speaking for myself, you may want to broaden your horizons. I know when I was with another company, they had longbows, recurves that they had done for many years. I got one of each. Love them all. But and now shooting for Strother archery, gosh, you know, it was a very difficult decision for me as to who to work with. I like these guys a lot. I like the bow a lot, and this is what works for me. You know, it's a great Michigan company, and again, it's all about personal preference. You have to do what's right for you. This is what I like, and I suggest. But, you know, again, nobody's going to shoot what I shoot just because I shoot it.
Well, exactly. And that's what, I mean, we get that question all the time. In fact, somebody just asked the question yesterday, and they said, hey, I know you probably get this a million times, and you're tired of answering it, you know, but what's the best crossbow? And as you know, with anything, there is no answer to that.
Right, no.
You know, the part that does scare me, though, is people this time of year trying to go find a crossbow, because you're not necessarily going to get the best experience going to a dealer, because a lot of dealers are going to try to just give you what they have in stock and they got to get rid of. You're not going to be able to choose the, you know, variety of crossbows and get a good, solid-fitting crossbow for yourself.
No, I agree, and that's good information to have, and there's some great dealers out there, and again, there's some out there that are going to sell you what they want to sell you. Find what fits you, what fits your budget, what you like. It's all about you. Dave Chevalier, Crossbow Warriors. Again, brother, I appreciate you joining us on the show.
Thank you, sir.
CrossbowWarriors.com. You can find a link to his website through our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. Stick with us. Another hour coming your way next on the Michigan Talk Network.